The Burt Show.
New study coming out saying 1 in 4 of your kids. 1 in 4. I'm taking something from you guys. You think they're angels, right? But when you guys aren't looking, they're all up in your closet.
Not my baby. My baby's perfect. You know what? He's always been a good kid. I don't know about those other kids, but I know my kid. He would never do anything like that to me.
I think 1 out of 4 is low.
That's what this one says. You got to think that most of them are lying on, right. on these. Mm-hmm. So it's probably more like 50%. Yeah. Brittany, you are on The Voice Disguiser. Good morning.
Oh, I didn't need The Voice Disguiser, but okay. You keep my halo. I'm going to start off by saying I only do this when she tells me I can, but my mom will often pay one of my bills, most of the time my phone bill, and when she does, I know her credit card number by heart, and I'll pay like 4 of them.
And your mom won't know that you're using her credit card to pay your bills?
Well, my mom, financially, she's pretty well off financially. So, no, she doesn't, unless it's like, you know, like if I pay my rent or something, maybe she'll look at that, but
Don't you think that even if you asked her for the cash, she'd give it to you?
But, I mean, she'll give me the third degree about it. She'll just be like, I mean, because I work, and I make enough money to pay my bills, but the thing with my phone bill, it's in my name, but we have a family plan. It's just me and her. So she'll offer to pay it, you know, because it's her cell phone, too. But, no.
How old are you?
Just give me, I'm actually 20.
20.
Okay.
And it is a family plan?
Yeah, in my name.
I'll pay.
And most of the time I'll
my dad will pay. My mom will pay. It's a family plan.
I love how she said, you know, I got a job. I can cover that bill. It's, you know, but since I know my mother's credit card name or number by heart, well, I'll use it. She never pays attention.
Hey, oh, she knows.
Hey, Jamie, do me a favor. Will you hold on? Because you're going to be my final call. You're my closer.
Okay.
All right, hold on.
What's that mean?
Probably, yeah, exactly.
I understand.
What? Mm-hmm. What did he just say?
Your final call.
Did he call me that?
Is he going to kill me?
Good morning, Emmy.
Hi.
You're on The Voice Disguiser.
I have actually stolen 2 handles of vodka along with my mom's car to go to a party, and then I hit a tree with my mom's car, drove it back into the driveway, and then she didn't notice for a week, and when she asked what happened, I told her that she must have done something that I didn't do it.
She didn't believe that.
I know, but then I had to blame my sister.
You no! never took the fall for it, so you never admitted to it?
I never admitted to it.
How old are you now?
I'm 18.
Oh, you're still 18, okay.
And how old is your sister?
Wow.
She's 20.
And did she take the fall for you?
Yeah, she did.
She did.
Why did she do that?
You owe her, and she's going to cash in later on.
She told me I owe her, but...
So you stole your parents' vodka, you drank it, then wrapped your car around a tree, and then blamed it on your sister.
Yep.
But what do you mean you owe her, but what? You're not going
to... You don't think that she'll ever ask you to...
She says the next time she ever needs anything, that I owe her money, anything.
Your sister's for life. You know that, right? This is the rest of your life.
Yeah, she's going to dangle that over her head forever.
And being the younger sister, you will always hear that story every Christmas. Like, eventually when it comes out and you can laugh about it, it will come up every holiday of what you did.
Sarah, you're on The Voice Disguiser. Good morning.
Hello.
How old are you?
I'm 14.
Okay. 14, all right. What are you stealing from your folks?
Pretty much, mostly just like money, but sometimes I'll take a couple of sips of something.
Like booze?
Yeah.
Like what?
Like, she's got like vodka sometimes, or wine, beer.
When do you sip it?
When they're not home.
Like every day they're not home?
No. Like once a month, maybe.
14. Are most of your friends doing the same thing?
A lot of them are.
Oh, that scares me. And how much cash do you think you've stolen from them over the years?
Not too much. Just like, I live near a lot of places we can go to eat, so I'll just go grab a couple bucks sometimes to go, like, to eat somewhere.
I found my parents' cash stash also. I was probably younger than him. It must have been, because it was before I left for California. So I was probably 7.
You're dipping in?
Mm-hmm. You're stealing money at 7?
Yeah, man. I was going through her file cabinet drawers and found a whole couple of envelopes of cash.
You realize that's 1 year from where your son is.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh.
Well done, Javi.
Oh, that's awful.
In a year, Hayden could be dipping into your cash jar.
Man, I remember going and getting all these Hostess cupcakes for all the kids on the street and dipping into that thing all the time. All the time.
Next year, buddy.
Good morning, Q.
Yeah, you got all your... I don't think I ever stole from my parents, only because they were broke. Like, my parents are so frugal with money that, like, everything was allocated. And, like, I think even if I took a dollar out of my dad's wallet...
He would have noticed.
He would have known. Because I just think that's the way they operate. They're just very budgeted and...
How about y'all?
Set.
I think I did. I remember stealing one of my dad's beers and it tasting awful. Like, thinking it was going to, you know, it's like one of those fancy kind or whatever. And I just remember it being horrible. But I remember stashing a couple of those in a backpack before leaving to go, like, hang out with my cheerleader friends or something.
My sister was such
the... the girl with the beer in the backpack. Oh, Jen's here. And you take out two old Milwaukee's best.
No, they were like Beck's or something like that.
Yeah, my sister was such the rebel, and I think siblings naturally morph into something different than the other sibling. So, yeah, I was too scared to do anything. My sister already cleaned the house, so there wasn't anything left to steal.
My sister hustled everything out of the house.
Nothing for Wendy either.
I'm guessing my younger brother was that way, too.
I was too scared.
Bert's like, when do you guys help me out? I stole from my parents at 7.
No, I got a worse one than that, even, if you really want to go confess.
Let's do it.
I've told you about this one before, though.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not proud of this, and I would never do it now, of course. But, yeah, when I was in high school and my parents went away for vacation, I was just one of these dudes that went in their room, had to see what was in the closet, what was in their drawers and stuff. And I went in there one day and I found a whole stash of marijuana. Whole stash. So I took about half of it and sold it at school.
No way.
I did.
You did?
And it was like the foolproof plan, because what are your parents going to do? They're going to go, you stole my weed?
They're not going to admit to you.
They'll never admit to it. Yeah, so I sold it to a whole bunch of guys at school. And... on Monday morning, I remember coming back to school and them all being mad at me because the weed didn't do anything except give them a headache. It was a really bad batch or something like that. So my plan backfired on me. But
you thought you were going to be the cool kid.
It was so foolproof. Like,
from
your parents
cupcakes
aren't
at
say,
7. See,
you must have had
it. At 17.
you must have had exciting parents, because I can't really think of anything more boring than going through my parents' room.
Oh, no.
I found my parents' Joy of Sex book when I was that young and
Harry.
It's like all illustrated and
1970s,
everything.
Yeah.
Do you think that book has changed over the years to where it's all trimmed down now?
I don't know. That'd be interesting to see, wouldn't it? Because the 1970s version is just gross.
I remember being shocked. I was pretty young. I shouldn't have been snooping around in there, but I was like, what is that?
God, they would close that room door, and it was just like, it was an open invitation. Like,
they would call to
I'm not
you.
Allowed in there? Forget about this. I got to go in there and see what they're trying to hide.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of stuff. There was weed. I found a gun. I didn't even know we had in the house also.
Really?
Yeah.
I never even searched for my Christmas presents. I knew because all my friends would go find theirs, but I never did that because I didn't want to be disappointed.
I found mine by accident when I was like 12 and was so devastated that I started crying and went down and confessed to them. Like, I lost it. Like, really? It's like 12 or 13 years old, far too old to be that affected by it.
Yeah.
But it was something totally random that I knew my parents kept in their closet.
Was the hyperventilating crying?
Yeah,
that one.
But I can remember it.
Pass out before you say anything.
Almost feel the anxiety now, but I remember I was going into my parents' closet for something that I knew that they kept in there. Like, I don't remember what it was, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Extra box of tissues. Something that I knew they kept in there. And I just remember opening the door and turning to the side where it is and seeing on the floor, like, the shopping bag, and I could see that, like, the three things in there, and freezing and panicking, and then just starting to uncontrollably cry.
Aww.
And I had to go downstairs.
Poor little
Jeffrey. You're such a good kid.
And I had to go downstairs and tell him, and I'm like, your presents are not okay. And they're
that's the kind of thing you'll run away from the house thinking that the punishment is going to be so bad.
Right.
I'll just run away for 2 weeks.
And you get to the end of the yard.
To retell the story, apparently I was more upset that I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I wasn't upset that I found them and ruined their surprise. I was upset that I ruined my own Christmas.
You ripped off your own Christmas.
Yeah. Now why am I even going to get up on the 25th? Just going to get drunk on Christmas Eve and sleep through it.
At 13.
Hey, Jamie, what are you stealing from your parents?
No, it's what my stepdaughter stole from me.
Ooh, okay.
It's not a good tone.
Yeah. I don't like your tone.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sitting up straight. Let's do it.
Yes, ma'am. What do you got, ma'am?
What do you got?
Go ahead. You're on the voice disguiser.
Woke up one morning to
and realized that one of my personal,
An adult item was gone.
Adult item was gone from the top nightstand drawer. Mm-hmm.
Had you used that adult item before?
Oh, please.
No! Oh, please. Have you used it since then?
No.
And how old is the stepdaughter?
She was 17.
Wow.
It was gone, and then about 30 minutes later, it reappeared.
Oh, my God!
No. Did you confront her on it?
One customer per item, please.
Just out of curiosity.
Or alcohol swabs.
Have you ever used that item with her dad?
Jeff. Not after that.
Oh,
But before that, you did?
Yes.
Blah.
The Burt Show.
I feel some of you guys. I mean, I've been with the same woman now 14 years. 14 years.
That is a blessing. And you are a lucky man.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I love the way you say that.
14 years, though. I mean, you got to get creative, man. And some of you are in relationships right now. Things got getting a little routine. And you're scratching your head on ways that you might be able to shake it up a little bit. Not in major ways, just little things that you can do. Sort of light the fire just a little bit. So let me tell you a plan that the wife of a friend of mine started a couple of months ago that has worked for them. Now, you can overdo this, so don't overdo it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can, if you go too extreme on anything, it fails more miserably than if you never did it at all.
I think this is more of a case of just doing it too many times.
Okay.
And it's going to sound pretty basic in the beginning, but there's a real key to this one. Okay. And I wrote some of this stuff down so I wouldn't jack it all up. They work in the same office together.
Whoa.
So the first
at home together
little,
and at work together?
Home together wow. and work together, right?
Wow.
So they're seeing each other all the time. But what happened a couple of months ago was he was in a meeting, a high-pressure meeting, closed-door conference, right? And she got kind of a crazy hair, so she decided to go into one of the empty offices in their own building,
mm-hmm.
and she snapped a sexy photo of herself. I'm not exactly sure if it was nude or just a little peeksy, and she sends it to him while he's in his meeting.
Funny.
And underneath it, it says, 9:30 tonight, come and get it. So while
Cute.
He's in the, yeah, so while he's in the meeting, he sees this. Now, here is the whole trick to this for him, is that it differs from your normal sext message or your normal picture because he's around her all day long now. So the visual is in front of him, and he's constantly reminded all day long of what's going to happen later on that night. So he goes home that night, 9:30 rolls around, and he says the hotness happens.
But I also think
that's great.
And tell me if this is also key. If this is also key because he's with her all the time, but at the moment she sends that picture is a moment he can't take advantage of anything.
That's exactly right. He can't do anything for hours.
So it's the one time that he has no control and cannot see her. And that's when she sends it. I think that's also
a key right there. Yeah. So that you're going to have the visual all day, and he can't or she can't capitalize on it right there.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a couple of hours. So he says then a couple of weeks later, they are at a restaurant with a whole bunch of their friends, and it's about an hour-long dinner. And about halfway through, she skips out, and she goes to the bathroom. It's a private bathroom, so not one of those nasty stall type deals.
Mm-hmm.
And she does the same thing. She takes just a real quick picture on her phone, sends it to him on his, and the caption just says, when dinner is over, dessert is waiting for you at home. So now he goes back to the table. She's right next to him. Again, he's constantly reminded of what's going to he can't capitalize on it right now. So he's getting more and more fired up as dinner goes on. They get home. The hotness occurs again.
Does this work the other way?
I don't know. I think as guys, we would say no, but I'd have to, I don't know. Does it?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it definitely does.
Well, then I'll be right back. One of you ladies is about to get out.
I think for women, we wouldn't need pictures. It would just be craftier words.
Okay, because the guys are visual.
Guys are more mm-hmm. visual, but if you say things to us, like what you're going to do later.
Right.
Just in a written out text message, I think that's just as exciting.
She's done it a couple of more times than that at Thanksgiving dinner at his parents' house. She did it also, saying basically, you know, like when Thanksgiving dinner is over and we get home, man, are you going to get it? She did at a formal event a couple of weeks ago also.
Awesome.
Where she pretends to go to the bathroom or whatever and just a little sneaky kind of sexy photo and says, after the event tonight, I'm all yours. But like Melissa said, he can't capitalize on it right now. And all he can do is think of her and that picture for the next couple of hours. It's so when he gets home,
it's a chase. There's a mental chase going on.
But now there's a great opportunity for her to start jacking with him. Like, take a picture of her topless, wearing those bright yellow dishwashing gloves, holding a turkey baster, and send the same thing.
Now, that would be hot to you.
This is weird. And then just write, like, 9:30 tonight, because he's going to spend the rest of the day wondering if he should go into hiding or should go home.
He needs to hold one of those Kashi meals.
So the bottom line, he says, for him is that he tried a couple of times in between these to where she would be at a different place and she sent a sexy picture also, which was cool because those are always cool to get as a guy. But he said there's just something different when she's in another room and he's forced to be around her for 45 minutes, an hour and a half, 3 hours before the actual action takes place.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Angel, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hi. I do this for my husband. We've been together for 17 years.
Wow.
What?
Congratulations.
Yay. But, you know, you get to a point where things can get a little stale or whatever, and he was working days. I was working nights. And when I was at home, I would take pictures and send them to him at work or on occasion make a video for him, and then I would send him a text message or a phone call and say, hey, you know, you've got a prize when you come home kind of thing. And it's always on. Yeah, I mean, when that happens, he just loves it.
Guys are visual, so if you do this anytime, it's going to be a win. But his key for him was being next to her, not only sending the picture, but she was going to be next to him, and there was nothing he could do about it for a couple of hours. So there's a little bit of a difference there, you know.
Hmm.
Hey, Carrie, you're on Q100.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. Actually, I'm sitting in my car laughing because I actually work with my boyfriend, and we do this quite a bit, and it's as awesome for me as it is for him. And I'm telling you, for any couple, whether you're dating or you're married, it can spark anything.
Can I ask a question? Is that how your relationship started?
No.
Okay. 'Cause sometimes
Not at all. Okay. It actually, we only started this, I'd say, a couple of months ago, and he just randomly sent me something, and we don't do it all the time because obviously you don't want to just
make that
repeat
routine.
It.
Yeah,
exactly. But you know, he was on his way to a very, very important meeting, and I ran into the bathroom real quick and took a cute little picture and sent it to him and said, good luck on your meeting. And it's just fun. You just got to keep a relationship fun and exciting, and it's just a great thing to do.
Sure. As I said, it's always going to be welcomed, but the extra kicker here is the picture that is delivered to him while he's still around you. You're in the other room, or you're stuck at dinner together.
Jeff's leaving the studio. That makes me nervous with him.
Take a picture of myself.
Jessica's
I didn't mean
down.
To interrupt. I'm just saying, warning.
I'm turning my phone off.
Hey, The Bert Show.
I want to do sort of a Bert Show Guinness Book of World Records here. And I want to find the person that has driven the longest in the wrong direction before you realize that you had taken a wrong turn somewhere. And here's why I'm asking. We have a friend, Katie, who was in South Carolina. And on Sunday, she was supposed to be driving back to Georgia.
Oh, no.
And it just took one wrong turn on Route 17. She was supposed to be going south, and she ended up going north for 1 hour. So let's call it 60 miles would be our starting point before she realized, wait a second, something here doesn't look right. Like, we're in Albany, New York, and we're supposed to be in Georgia.
Wait a second. Where are we going?
Wait a minute. Something doesn't make sense. So she puts GPS in, and she realizes, good God, I just went an hour out of my way.
Wrong way, because that's 2 hours.
It's 2 hours. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Detour. Oh, especially with Thanksgiving traffic, that is the worst.
It is. When that realization that you're going the wrong way, that pit in your stomach, like, what a waste of my life right here.
When we did the contest where we took winners out to Las Vegas to get married, the Diamond Dash, the Solomon Brothers Diamond Dash, that's what it was. The bus driver made a mistake leaving Memphis and didn't realize it until he hit North Carolina.
Oof.
Oh, wow, that hurts.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
I remember that happening.
Yeah, he was supposed to go west, obviously, because they had stops
in
all these different cities. So they had Graceland, obviously. So they hung out and they saw Graceland, and that was cool. And then the bus driver
gets in the bus. 8 or 9 hours to get through Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, they know.
Wow.
It threw us off by a whole day because their next stop was supposed to be.
I didn't get that.
So we're
had to skip their next stop or something.
So, hey, where are you guys? Well, we're in Memphis again. Alrighty then.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I've gotten out of my way before. Like, I've been in the right direction, but I was trying to get to a beach location on the East Coast, and it was, you know, I forgot if it was in South Carolina or it must have been South Carolina. But anyway, so I took 85 up to Greenville rather than 20 over. So it was probably an extra 2.5 hours for me to drive then south through South Carolina. So I saw the whole state, which is a beautiful state.
I think it's more impressive to hear the mile difference. So in your 2.5 hours, what are you talking, 120 miles?
I'm not good at that, but let's say, yeah.
120 miles.
Yeah.
All right. Good morning, Lauren. You're on Q100. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi. How far out of your way?
Oh, let's see. I lived in Dayton, Ohio. Drove to Paducah, Kentucky for work. Coming back, the next sign I see is welcome to Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, whoops.
So how many miles are we talking about here?
I honestly have no idea. I just know I didn't get home until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oops. How many hours?
It was a good 4 hours out of my way.
4 hours.
Oh, in the middle in February in a snowstorm.
Oh, that's horrible. Dude.
So you have to assume that you're going 60 miles an hour. So that's, 240 miles out of your way.
Probably.
I did it one time going from Gainesville to Tallahassee when I was a freshman in college, and we were turned around for probably about an hour going back towards Jacksonville instead of towards Tallahassee on I-10.
And then it's that feeling that you have. Wait a second, are we going the right way? And then you start looking for the sign, the interstate sign, to see if it says north or south or whatever.
And for some reason, it won't come for forever.
Right.
Right.
Because you need it.
Yes.
Hey, Rebecca, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, I went to the University of Tennessee. Woohoo!
Go Balls!
And when I was trying to go home, it was 8 hours away from Knoxville. My parents dropped me off, and they said, come home by yourself. Now, this was before MapQuest, and I had never been on the interstate. I spun around 285 for 4 hours. I could not figure out how to get off on 85 South to go to Columbus. Could not do it. Went to a Waffle House finally in tears and asked a guy, I said, I will pay you money to take me to Columbus. I can't find my way.
So how could you?
I know, it was awful. I was a little girl from a small town, never been in the big city, and my family still talks about that. And I'm in my 30s.
285 goes east, west, north, and south. And yeah. I know it sounds dumb, but when you first move here, and if you just get it confuses confusing. You.
Things look awfully familiar here.
You're like, wait a second. I thought I was going east. Yeah. And now I'm going north.
Big Ben. Look, kids, Big Ben.
Good morning, Jennifer. You're on Q100.
Hey, I'd like to say I love your show, but I picked up a friend of mine from the airport, and we were supposed to have been going to Hilton Head, and we ended up in Alabama.
Oh,
we went down 85, and we ended up off of the first exit in Alabama before we realized we went the wrong way.
Whoops.
Oh, wow.
How many hours difference is that?
Oh, my gosh. Let's see. It takes about 4 hours to get to Hilton Head. We got there in about 9, 10 hours.
So what are y'all doing?
Three-state difference.
Just talking and hanging out and not paying attention?
Oh, yeah, just talking. It was funny because I had my girls, my two daughters, in the back seat. My oldest one's 13, and she kept saying, Mom, we're headed to Montgomery. I'm like, oh, that's all right, Sarah. We're fine. We're going the right way. Mom, we're in Alabama. And she's like, you should have listened to me. I'm like, yeah, I guess I should have, because then we had to go all the way across Georgia to even get to South Carolina.
So we had about 300-mile difference there.
Oh, yeah. It was bad.
That is so funny because, I mean, Atlanta, yeah, that's so funny. Again, she's 13, and so she will always, you know, anyway.
Good morning, Jessica. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Hi. When I was 16, right after I got my driver's license, a bunch of my friends decided we were going to go to Graceland, and let's just say I was mine to be driving. A friend of mine was navigating, and he's like, go here, and we didn't realize until I got pulled over by a state trooper in Mississippi. That we were going west instead of northwest. So.
And your parents like, dude, I totally have the map upside down.
Exactly. It was horrible.
And you're driving 15 miles an hour.
Right.
So did the cops say to you by any chance, all right, kids, where are you from? You're like, we're from Atlanta. Where are you headed? We're headed to Graceland, Memphis. He's like, by way of where?
The Burt Show.